prophesy. Remember we can all remember our first cell phone. I remember when there wasn't cell phones. How many remember the first push button phone from the dial? Raise them high and proud. Yeah. I still have our phone that I grew up with. That's a dial phone that somehow I got it, you know, through all the transfer of stuff. And also, remember the first cordless phone? Remember the coily cords? And we had the 20-foot coily cord, so you could go all over the kitchen and half the living room, you know, and still be connected to the wall. But the first cordless phone was a big deal. And to me, even more special than that was the first answering machine. Whoa, now that was living. You know, that you've arrived if you had an answering machine and you could check your messages and leave funny messages and all that stuff. And but tomorrow is the first day of 2018. It seems like 2017 is here and gone, goes by so fast. This is the first year of us having services. We've now been 1 year of services in this building. And it just seems like, wow, it's just not long ago. Can we just give God a thank you, Jesus? Yeah. It was awesome. Big, huge gift from God. Now, not only do we ask where did the time go, but did we live it wisely? Did we live 2017 with wisdom? Is it a successful year? How do we know it was a successful year or a unsuccessful year? What do we base? What's the measurement? And because anyone can meander through life, but God provides direction. He provided direction so we can live deliberately a life that's rich and purposeful and meaningful and wonderful, and not without surprises and not without challenges, but purposeful, where you know you are going somewhere, you know who you're going with, you know why you're going there. I think that's what God wants us to know. And I do want to interrupt this monologue by welcoming Gabriel Wessinger, who is back with us after a near-death experience in the hospital that we all prayed for you. Has it been a month now? About 4 weeks ago? 3 Sundays ago? That bacterial meningitis is what it was determined. In a coma for many days. And could we give God a hand for Gabe being back here? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. This is an example of what I'm talking about, that God wants us knowing where we're going and who we're going with. And as we get connected to people, I mean, Gabe Wessinger got connected recently, this past summer, to this congregation, and then goes through a crisis, and we all feel it. We all felt it. We all were concerned for you, praying for you. And it's so wonderful to see you back here on a Sunday morning, back home. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That's the kind of life that I want to live, a purposeful, meaningful life, deliberate life, not just randomly going about taking what comes. And Jesus, speaking as the good shepherd to his disciples in John 10, 9 and 10, says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. And this is a picture, at that point of this verse, is a picture of God's leading, God's directing as the shepherd, as a good shepherd, guiding and providing. You'll find pasture, you'll find food, you'll find provision, what you need. And he's the good shepherd. Because then he goes on to describe the devil, says the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And he's talking to living people. He's not talking to dead people that he's going to raise from the dead. He's talking about, it's not just about life and you're gonna, your heart's going to beat and you're going to breathe. He's talking about life, and the King James says life abundantly, life more abundantly. And this is what I believe God wants for us in 2018. A life not just getting by, not just the skin of our teeth survival, but thriving in the kingdom of God. And I have no doubt the devil is against us and wants us to meander through, wandering aimlessly, hoping for the best in 2018 and missing God's will and direction and provision. And I have no doubt that God is for us and wants us to walk out the new year with his blessing. Absolutely know that that's on the heart and the mind of God, that he's for us. So I want to, with that in mind, pray and just commit this to the Lord. Father, we just thank you for your heart for us, for your provision and the wisdom that you have to give us and to have us walk in. And Father, I just pray you'd bless the word to our minds, to our spirits, to our hearts. Bless this fellowship, God, with your increase. God, and your impact on this community and on the communities around the world that we are connected to. And Lord, just give us eyes to see and ears to hear your voice this morning. Thank you, God, for your great love, your great kindness, your great provision, your great and many thoughts towards us that are all and only good. Just bless our time, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, I've said it before, I'm kind of a nostalgic routine kind of guy. I love puzzles, winter puzzles, putting puzzles together. I really enjoy those cold, dark evenings with a practical thing to put together, whether music is on or a DVR recorded Vikings rerun win. You know, I like to just have something on in the background that I know is going to be good news. And with my wife doing things. And, you know, there's something about this. My background is art and design, and I used to be an illustrator. Just something about the color, the subtle color nuances of puzzle pieces and the geometric variations on subtle differences, and I just like to look at it and go, that fits right there. Nailed it, you know, got it. And the challenges of puzzles, my children know that I like puzzles, like doing those in the winter, and so my son Gabriel, who's not here, gave me one last year. It became my favorite puzzle, which is this photo of my five kids. Took a photo from a different event, and that's fun. It's like, that's Tony's teeth, you know. That is definitely my daughter's eye, and so my daughter Grace is here with her husband Joel, and Angus is right there, and so way from Brainerd, so they're all from Brainerd. But I love doing that. Now there's different techniques. How many of you know different techniques? Some people, first of all, you got to put the border together. Is there anyone that doesn't put the border together first? You got to put the border together. It just eliminates a whole bunch of pieces and gives you a frame, and then you find a topic, a subject of the same colors, and you start there, like a face, and then eventually work it to connect it to the border, and it gives a frame of reference. It's a reference. Some people like to grab a piece and just hold it up and look at it and look at the box. Just look at the box. Which I do sometimes. Yep. Tony? Yep. I like to do that too. I do kind of everything. I like to look at the area, and I like to study that box and find that little piece. There it is. And hopefully you have enough going, and that's where it gets fun, where you have enough going to connect it to something else when you find it with the box. But the key is the box. The key is that photo on the box that gives you the frame of reference of where you're going, of so that you can hold a piece and know it's upside down, because I can see this subject on the box. And God has given us a key. He gives us a guide. He gives us something to look at and say, this is the frame of reference for your life. I want you to keep this in mind. Have this perspective on your life. God has given us a key so that we can know that when we are going through life, we can hold up that part of our life and hold up the key, which is God, God and His kingdom and His word, and say, where does this fit? Does this fit in here? Or no, this doesn't fit in here. I need to reject. This is from another puzzle that is a foreign invader piece. I need to get rid of that piece. You ever do that where you find other pieces in the puzzle? Throw that out of there. Usually garage sale puzzles is kind of where you find random pieces that don't belong. But without that box, looking at these pieces, if you didn't have, imagine getting a baggie, a Ziploc, of a bunch of pieces and not having a key photo to look at, that would be a challenge. But God has given us a key photo to look at, something to understand and hold it up and know that we know that Jesus is the way. He's the truth and the life, and he shows us how to live. And I believe he's given us some core values from his word of how to live successfully with others and with him. And in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus gave us 7 firsts, and I'm going to explain a little bit. 7 firsts to live by. This is a series that we're going to be doing titled The 7 Firsts of Jesus. And these are guiding principles for a victorious spiritual life. We're going to look at, for the next 7 weeks, these 7 firsts in the book of Matthew that Jesus doesn't just suggest, but they're you must. These are things that we must do first. Jesus said, first do this before that. And these are things that we can hold up and say, okay, is this where this goes? This is where this should be in my life. And he presents these as must-do items to align our lives with his priorities. And as we know those 7, those firsts, things from Jesus, the non-essentials tend to get exposed as non-essentials. It's just not that important. It's important. There's important things, but they're not the essentials in our lives. And how many times have you gone along and thought you knew what was the essentials, and it took a big hit? Something took a big hit, and you realized that was not an essential. I've had that happen where we had a vehicle stolen. We've had different things, and it's like, oh, our world is crumbling, and what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And then you realize that was not that important. That was easily replaceable. And until you get to that point, you don't necessarily know, but God wants us to know what are the essentials in life. And so that when you hold decisions up, you can make decisions with conviction. Because you know this is where they fit. This does fit into these things of God's Word. Stephen Covey, author of First Things First Every Day, says the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Do you know what the main thing in your life is? I'd say most people don't know what it is. I'd say most people that you meet don't know what it is or think they know what it is, and it really is not. That's not the main thing. God wants you to know what the main thing is. He wants you to make decisions based on eternal priorities that matter, not just forever, but right now, right here and now. And these things are written that you may know. These are written that you may know what you're doing, who you're doing it with, where you're going, why you're going there. And there's a book that I'm going by in these 7 firsts. It's a book by Frank DiMaggio titled The Power of Spiritual Alignment. And it's from his book that Tony showed me, and it's like, that would be a great series for the new year. So that's why we're doing this. It's the 7 firsts of Jesus for spiritual alignment. And it's to get us on a good foundation for 2018, and it's a really, really practical stuff that I believe you'll find it very practical. And of course, Jesus lived perfectly in alignment with his Father, and as our example, he shows us the pattern He lived by and gave us His Spirit so we can do it too. You have what it takes to live a purposeful life in Christ. You've been given the power of God to have a thriving, wonderful experience in Christ with others. An ancient adage says, if you want to defeat them, distract them. And even over the weekend, my grandson, Ted, 3 years old, Tony and I were goofing around, pretending to fight, and it was the old, what's this over here? What's this over here? Look at it, bam, you know, do that. And it works with a three-year-old. Doesn't work so well with adults, you know. Bam. But distract, 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 and pow. And the devil, the world, and our flesh are master distractors. That is what they want to do, distract you from what is important and get you tied up and bound up and occupied with things that are not an essential priority in your life. And to have the wisdom to know that is so important. And wouldn't it be great if you knew that ahead of time? That whenever something comes along, it just had a label, this is non-essential. Or this is essential, you need to give your priority time to this. Wouldn't it be great? Well, there's God's word. In the book of Matthew, Jesus talks about these seven firsts. And I'm just going to list them off. I'm going to list them off to you. And this is just the subjects for the next 7 weeks. I'm not going to get into them. But the first one, next week, Sunday, and this is the memory verse for 2018. It's Matthew 6:33. Says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. That will be the 2018 memory verse. I challenge you to commit to memory. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And we'll talk about that next week. The second is Matthew 7:4-5. It says, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Then Matthew 5:24, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Then the fourth one, Matthew 12:29. Or again, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? Then he can rob his house. We're going to talk about what that means in a few weeks. Then Matthew 22:36-38. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. That's a good one to have in your heart. Number six, Matthew 23:26. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean. So we'll talk about that. And then the last one, Matthew 28:1. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Those are the seven. We're going to talk about those for the next 7 weeks. And there could be other first scriptures, but we're going to look at those as foundational to a healthy life, both spiritually and naturally in Christ. And I hope you can make every Sunday morning a priority, which you probably noticed will be the seventh first to build on. So just make it a priority that you come together corporately with others to grow in Christ. So I do want to wrap this up with a story. Jesus was born of a virgin. We celebrated last week. Miracle, the incarnation, the God-man. In the fullness of time, Jesus was the Son of God deposited on earth. He grows up in obscurity for 30 years. We know one event of his life when he's 12 years old. beyond his first couple weeks of life. And at 30 years old, he goes, he comes publicly out to John the Baptist and is water baptized. And John water baptizes him, and he comes up out of the water, and the Father speaks an audible voice from above saying, "This is my Son, whom I am well pleased, whom I love, and him I am well pleased." And then it says the Spirit of God leads him out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And in the wilderness, the temptation, he overcomes Satan by using the word, "It is written, it is written, it is written." And he doesn't do anything differently than what we could do. He overcomes the devil in a way that we can overcome the devil, by the word of God. He doesn't use any supernatural power that he certainly had at his disposal. Being the Son of God, the miracle-working God, whose Father's endorsement was all over him. And he uses the Word of God, which is what we are encouraged to do. And then at that point, and he defeats him, he comes back out of the wilderness, back into Capernaum, anyway, in north Israel, near the Sea of Galilee, on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And it says from that, in Matthew 4:17, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." And from that time on, after he was endorsed by his Father, after he defeated the devil privately with the word, he comes out, and it says, from that time on, this is the message that Jesus began to preach, which is, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven," the first thing out of his mouth, the first recorded message of Jesus, even before the first sermon, which is a Sermon on the Mount, it says he began to preach, and this is the same message that John the Baptist began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And I used to think, repent just means stop sinning. Stop sinning. And this is a big thing for me, stop sinning and God will love you. And that's kind of the Old Testament message in a nutshell. And we think of the Old Testament, the prophets turn from wickedness, turn from evil, turn from sin. And repent does mean that. That is part of the meaning of repent. Turn from wickedness and turn back to God, and he will respond with blessing. That's the Old Testament idea, that you need to stop sinning and turn to God, and he'll bless you. Well, there's the new covenant, that mindset is not accurate. The mindset, the New Testament, God does love you. God loves you. Therefore, turn from wickedness. The Old Testament is turn from wickedness and God will love you. The New Testament is God loves you. So turn from wickedness and live for him. Live with him. The word repent, by definition, in the New Testament means to change one's mind, to change your thinking, to think a new way. So when Jesus is saying, turn, repent, why? Because the kingdom of heaven is nearer than you think. And that's not a threat, which I used to think of it as kind of a threat. Repent, because the kingdom of heaven is near. No, it's like, repent, change your thinking, because the kingdom is much nearer than you thought. And it's much more wonderful than you realize, and it's much more within your grasp than you thought. And it's here, and you can live in the kingdom of God. You're not stuck in this world of man, hoping for the best, and in this sinful world fallen with a fallen nature. Yes, we're still in this world, and we're in this world, but we're not of this world. And Jesus came to give us the realization, and this is the border, going back to the puzzle. It's like, that's why it's so important to do that border, because everything fits within there. Everything else in this box fits within there. And Jesus wants us to know that the kingdom of heaven is here. And he wants you to see that you are in it, that you live and move and dwell in it. If you're in Christ, if you've given your life to Christ, if you've believed and received, and he cries out to you to trust Him, put your faith in Him, believe Him, receive Him, and know that you are part of what God is doing on this earth right now. You're within the border. You're not some outside thing looking in and hoping for the best. And the kingdom of God is not some outside world. The king is not just some king ruling some other faraway place, but he's ruling this place that you're part of, that you're a citizen of. And this is the idea. This is, to me, it's no coincidence that the first message of Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount, within that first, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And don't worry, your Father knows you have need of all these things, all these practical, natural things. He knows you need that. And because of that, within that, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And don't worry about your life. Don't worry about these things. And we're going to get into that next week more. This is great news. The kingdom of God is great news. So I want to leave you with a couple of challenges. I want to challenge you to read chapter 6 of Matthew between now and next Sunday. Read chapter 6, because within that is not only the setup for our first firsts of the firsts, but also on fasting. It's some insight into fasting and what it should be and shouldn't be. And then my second challenge for you is to make the next 7 Sundays a priority. It's like, I know things come. It's like when you tell your family or event, when you take charge of your schedule will bless you. God will honor that. So my challenge is to read chapter 6 of Matthew and make the next 7 weeks a priority to build this foundation for 2018. Let's stand up and close in prayer. Thank you.